John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now there are verses in this Bible that are so vast, that are so breathtaking, so full of God, so full of glory, so full of mystery, so full of eternity, that I feel utterly helpless before them. This is one of those verses. I sit and look at it. I know and appreciate some of what it contains, some of what it contains. But its riches are so great and so vast that I feel utterly helpless before it. I want very much to preach the riches of these verses. I want to unfold the treasures that are in them. I want people to come to appreciate what God has said, what God hath promised. But I can't, because I labor in the dust and in the mire. I walk in the pollution of human nature. And these verses speak of glory. These verses speak of God. These verses speak of the mysteries of God's eternal kingdom. In our text here, the apostle seems to go from glory to glory. As I looked at this verse and I prayed, Lord, open this verse to us, to me. Let us see some of the riches. Let us see some of the treasures. Let us come to appreciate what thou hast said in these verses. The apostle goes from one glory to another. He goes from one great truth to a greater truth. It looks like that he's building a vast pyramid of blessings. He lays one stone upon another till he comes to the top stone. And there's the greatest glory. Look at these statements. First of all, in verse 1, chapter 3, 1 John. Behold, what manner of love. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Oh, behold the love of God. So rich, so pure, so measureless, so strong, it shall forevermore endure even the saints and angels' song. I have drawn thee, he said, with an everlasting love. Herein is love, not that we loved him. He loved us and gave his Son to be a sacrifice for our sins. God commended his love toward us. Behold, what manner of love. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, and such sinners, such enemies, such ungodly sinners, that Christ died for us. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2 a moment. Ephesians, the second chapter. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature, by birth, by choice, by practice, by nature, children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. Love that chose us in a covenant of mercy back before the world had a being. What manner of love? Love that included us, even when we were in league with Satan, seeking to rob God of his throne. What manner of love? Love that included us, the allies of satanic powers, to rob God of his throne. Love that prayed, even while we drove nails in his hands and spit in his face and hung him on a tree. Love that prayed, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. What manner of love? Love that yet held us when we worshiped the creature rather than the Creator. Love that held us when we walked according to the course of this world, fulfilling the lust of our flesh and of our mind and of our pride. Love that held us and would not let us go. What manner of love? Love that called us again and again while we refused his grace and refused his entreaty and refused his mercy. Love that kept on calling until by the power of the Holy Spirit we were made willing. Love that would not let us go. What manner of love? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us. And love even now that keeps us in the safety of his mercy while we strain to wander. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. What manner of love? There's the first stone. Isn't it marvelous? You see why I sit and look at this verse? There's so much there. There's a mind that can never completely, by any human mind, be exhausted. What manner of love? Do you understand that kind of love? Can you comprehend that kind of love? That we, look at it, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we, should be called a son of God. Don prayed a moment ago. We're sons of God. Abraham may in fear deny that Sarah is his wife, but Abraham is a son of God. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we, folks like Abraham, even in the denial of truth, is still called a son of God. Lot may in covetousness dwell with the heathen of Sodom while his righteous soul is vexed and crying out for the pure air of holiness. And yet Lot is a son of God. Behold what manner of love that we should be called sons of God. David, in lust, may plot the murder of his best friend, of a faithful soldier who serves his kingdom and exalts his own glory. But David is a son of God. Peter, in fear, may sit about the fire of evil and deny by cursing and swearing that Jesus Christ is his friend. I don't know him. I don't know him. Behold what manner of love that still lets a Simon Peter be called a son of God. Even in his fear and in his covetousness and in his lust, he's a son of God. John Mark may desert Paul and quit the ministry. I won't go another step. I won't sacrifice. I won't give. I won't preach. I've got my own life to live, and walk away from Paul. But John Mark is a son of God. Oh, behold, if you've got eyes to see, behold, if you've got ears to hear, behold, if you've got a mind at all, if you're not so simple-minded, if you're not so hale and gross, behold, what manner of love this is that the Father hath bestowed on us, that we, of all people, should be called the sons of God. I'm not what I ought to be, and I'm not what I want to be, and I'm not what I expect to be, but there's one thing I know. I am a son of God. Behold, what manner of love. It doesn't take love to love the lovely. It doesn't take any love to love the responsive. It doesn't take any love to love the gracious. But it takes love to love your enemy. It takes love to love the unlovely. And it takes only the love of God, for only God can love the ungodly. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us. Christ came to seek and to save the unlovely. He came to heal the sick. He came to clothe the naked. He came to find the lost. He came to heal the sinners, that we should be called sons of God. Well, the third thing the apostle says, he goes on, he says, the world doesn't know us. The world looks upon us as fools. The world looks upon us as filth. The world looks upon us as ignorant. The world doesn't know us, the apostle John says, because it didn't know him. The world doesn't recognize us as sons of God. Sons of God? Why, you're a fool. You're a fanatic. Sons of God? Why, you're deceived and deluded. The world doesn't acknowledge us to be sons of God because it doesn't acknowledge our Lord. He said in verse 13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. The world reckons you to be a fool, and the world reckons you to be ignorant, and the world hates and persecutes you, he said, because they hated and persecuted him. They rejected and despised him. If ye had loved my Father, he said, you would have loved me. But you hate me because you hate my Father. The servant's not greater than his Lord. If they hate the Lord Jesus, they'll hate you. If they reject his doctrine, they'll reject your doctrine. If they call him a fool in league with Satan, they'll call you a fool and Beelzebub. The world doesn't know us. We are a secret society. We are a holy priesthood. We are an holy nation. We are the sons of God. We know each other, and we recognize God in each other. And we recognize the absence of God in a false professor. But the Spirit of God knows the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God recognizes the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God acknowledges the Spirit of God. And the reason the world doesn't know and acknowledge and recognize you is because when he came into the world knew him not. The world knew him not. And nailed him to a tree. Look at the next line. Beloved, now, right now, beloved, right now, are we the sons of God? Not later, right now. Not at the judgment, right now, sons of God. Not in eternity, right now. Beloved, right now. We're sons of God. We're sons of God now because Jesus Christ has already become a man. We're sons of God right now because our representative, the Lord Jesus Christ, has already met this law. And in the flesh, tempted in every point as we are tempted, yet without sin, Jesus Christ our Lord has fulfilled and imputed unto us, accepted by the Heavenly Father, a righteousness with which God can be pleased. And right now, because of that, I'm a son of God. Right now, because Christ has borne my sins in his body on the tree. He took all my guilt and all my filth and all my unrighteousness and all my fear and all my deceit and all my lust, and all my hatred, and all my evil in his body. on that tree and died under the wrath of God and satisfied the justice of God. And because of that, right now, the debt has been paid. I'm a son of God. Right now. Right now, because the debt's paid. Right now, because the blood is on the mercy seat of glory. Right now, because my name is on the breastplate of the great high priest. Right now, because our names are written in his hand. Right now, because the Holy Spirit has begotten in us repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. Right now, we're sons of God. Right now, because by his mercy we have passed from death to life. Right now. Beloved, right now, not later, not at the judgment, not at death, not in eternity, right now, because the Lord loved us and gave himself for us, right now, we are the sons of God. Look at this next line. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. You cannot look at me and get any idea at all of what I shall be. It doth not yet appear. It is not yet manifest. It is not yet clear. It cannot yet be discerned what I shall be. That's what it says. It doth not. What now? I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God, but it doth not yet appear. It is not clear what I shall be. My body is weak. It doth not yet appear the strength in which it shall someday be revealed. My body is frail and full of corruption and marked by sin. My sight is dim and my days are numbered. And you cannot look at me and I cannot look at you and tell what you shall be. It doth not yet appear. My mind is still weak and foolish. The wisdom of God is beyond my grasp. The wisdom of God is beyond my capacity. I stutter and I stammer and I can't remember and I can't express even what I feel. I can't even remember what I want to remember. I remember what I don't want to remember. I know in part and preach in part. It doth not yet appear what I shall be. My old man is older than my new man, and the old man is very much alive, and he makes a fool out of me. He wants, he desires, he causes difficulty, he causes all the trouble he can call. It's cause. It doth not yet appear what I shall be. My affections are not fully weaned from this world. I do not love God with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind. Do you? I do not love my neighbor as myself. I do not have the capacity to love God with all my heart, though it's commanded. I do not have the capacity to love my neighbor as I love myself, though it's commanded. It doth not yet appear what I shall be. There's no way under heaven that you can get any inkling of what I shall be. And I cannot get any inkling of what you shall be. It doesn't yet appear. It looks so often like you're not what you're going to be. And I'm not what I want to be. But watch the next line. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. I'm going to be perfect. I'm going to be holy. But it doesn't appear yet. But I know this. Under God, I know this. But we know that when he shall appear, and he shall, he said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will. I love the shalls and the wills of God's word. I will come again and receive you unto myself. As our Lord Jesus ascended back to the Father from the top of the Mount Olivet, the angels of God appeared to the disciples, and they said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, this same Jesus shall so come again in like manner as ye have seen him go. And when he shall appear, I don't know when he's coming. The fools say, where's the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they are. Where's the promise of his coming? In his word. Just as the promise of his first coming was not fulfilled for 4,000 years, he still came. He came. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15, and he's coming back again. He said, I will return. He went away, but not to stay. He's coming back again. In 1 Corinthians 15, and when he shall appear, I'll be like him. Oh, think of it. Behold, what manner of love. The Heavenly Father himself has bestowed on you and me that we, fearful, unbelieving, guilty, sinful, fickle, foolish, ungodly, that we should be called sons of God. Beloved, right now we're sons of God. Not later, right now, by his grace, because the debt's paid, because the righteousness is fulfilled. Right now, because Jesus Christ at God's right hand is our mediator and pleads for us and prays for us and stands for us. And we're accepted in him and seated in him and loved in him and redeemed in him. Now are we sons of God, and it doesn't appear what we shall be. We get provoked with one another and put out with one another. And sometimes we make the mistake of saying, well, he's not a Christian or he wouldn't do that. She's not a Christian or she wouldn't say that. They're not a son of God or they wouldn't act like that. It doesn't appear what we shall be. But oh, when he comes back, I don't worship the law, worship the Lord. I don't worship morality, worship the Lord. And I'm looking for him to come back. He's coming back. And when he shall appear, look at verse 51 of 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to be like him. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We're not all going to die. When Christ comes back, there's going to be some folks living. There's going to be some in the grave. There's going to be some living. There's going to be a populated world to which our Lord comes. He may come tonight. He may come tomorrow. He may come in my lifetime. I don't know. I'm not saying. I hope he does. If he doesn't, that's all right, too. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. I'm glad for that, aren't you? In a moment, in the batting of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet's going to sound. It's going to sound. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we're going to be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then and only then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. I can't say that now because I've got too much death in me. I've got sin and death that dwells in me. But when this corruptible, when this feeble and foolish and frail and weak and corruptible and mortal body shall have put on incorruption and immortality, when he shall appear, I'll be like him. Then shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. O grave, I'll turn around and say, where is your sting? O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? You couldn't get victory over my Lord, and you can't get victory over me. You couldn't get victory over my Savior, and you can't get victory over me. I shall be like him in form and loveliness, as perfect as Jesus Christ. I shall be like him in holiness and righteousness as Adam in the Garden of Eden walked with God. I shall be like him in love and mercy. I shall be like him in knowledge and wisdom. I shall be like him in eternal existence when he shall appear. I'm going to be like him. I don't act like him now. I don't think like him. I don't look like him. But when he shall appear, I'm going to be like him. It doth not yet appear what I shall be, but when he shall appear, I'm going to be like him. Look at this last line now. For we shall see him. We shall see him as he is. We, yes, you and I. Job said, I shall see the Lord. Though worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I'm going to see the Lord. I myself, not another, I'm going to see the Lord. I, who cannot even behold his created Son without going blind. With these eyes, I'm going to look on the Son of Heaven. God said, no man can see God and live. One of these days, I'm going to see God and live. And I'm going to see him as he is, just like he is. We shall see him. We have his promise. We have his word. We have his faithfulness. He said, because I live, ye shall live. We shall see him. I'm going to know him by his manhood and by his Godhead. Bright like a man, he sits. Eternal God. How bright he shines. There's one mediator, the man Christ Jesus. I shall know him by his scars. Behold my hands and my feet. And be not faithless but believing. I shall know him by his love. No one ever loved me like that. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you. Unto myself. I'm going to see him. I'm going to see him. I'm going to look upon his face. I'm going to see him. And this is an interesting observation. John said we're going to see him as he is. As he is. We're not going to see him as he was. That's the reason if you come into my home, I think I've got a religious home. I think I've got a home that in which Jesus Christ has preeminence. But if you come into my home, you won't see any pictures, any religious pictures of Jesus Christ in the manger, because I'm not looking forward to seeing him in a manger. You won't see any pictures of him with the bloody sweat kneeling by a rock in the Garden of Gethsemane, because that's as he was, not as he is. You won't see any crucifixes. You won't see any statues of Christ on a cross, because he's not on a cross. He's not on a cross. That's as he was, not as he is. I'm looking forward to seeing him as he is. I want my eyes to behold him as he is, not abased in humiliation, but exalted in glory. He's not a lamb, he's a lion. He's not a servant, he's a king. He's not a defeated man hanging on a cross under the guilt of sin and the wrath of God. That head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. That hand that held the mocking reed now holds the golden scepter of glory. Those shoulders that were draped with robes of mockery are now encircled with the stars of the universe. On his head are many crowns. Doth not yet appear what I'm going to be, but I do know this, when he comes back, I'm going to be like him. Because for the first time, human eyes are going to behold him as he is. No more the bloody sweat, no more the bloody spear, the cross, the nails, no more, for hell itself shakes at his name. all the heavens adore. Not despised and rejected, but loved and adored and honored and glorified and exalted and given a name above every name, not under the Father's displeasure, but exalted above all. I'm going to see him as he is. Not as he was, not as the blind portrait painters have tried to put him on canvas, but I'm going to see him as he is. Majestic sweetness sits enthroned upon my Savior's brow, his head with radiant glorious crown, his lips with grace o'erflow. And you who want to strain and preach and try to get this world to feel sorry for Jesus, you go right ahead. You who want to picture him as defeated and bewildered, you go right ahead. You who want to picture the Lord Jesus Christ as frustrated and unable to fulfill his will, unable to complete without man's assistance his God-given task, you go right ahead. But I still say, majestic sweetness sits enthroned upon my Savior's brow, his head with radiant glorious crown, his lips with grace o'erflowed. No mortal can with him compare among the sons of men. Fairer is he than all the fair who fill the heavenly train, and to him I owe my life and breath and all the things I have. Because already by his grace he makes me triumph over death, and he saved me from the grave. And I'm going to see him by God's grace tomorrow. I'm going to see him next month. I don't know. I'm going to see him next year. It won't be as long as it has been. I'm going to see him. And when I see him, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, this corruptible is going to put on incorruption. And this mortal, which doth not yet appear what it shall be, but when he shall appear, this mortal is going to put on immortality. And then is going to be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in the victory of Christ. Not my victory, his. Not my glory, his. Not my act of conquering, his. All the glory is going to be his. But I'm going to share in it. I'm going to share in it. Oh, what love. Our Father in heaven, let us have eyes that can see into these mysteries and rejoice in them. Let us have eyes that can see into the glory of thy promises and thy word and the victories of thy Son and the will of our God that has been accomplished through the sacrifice of Christ our Lord. Let us have eyes that can see these mysteries and a heart that can rejoice in them and affections that can look forward with expectation to that great day, not with fear, but with anticipation and with desire, that we can say with Paul, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. For me to die is gain, for I'm going to see him as he is and be just like him. Oh, what a day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.